Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study that we've been doing in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to begin 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But before we begin today, I just want to thank each and every one of you to take the time today to listen to the broadcast. I don't take any of you for granted. It's a blessing from God to be with you today, to have you listening. Now let's get right into our study today. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to, in this chapter, see that what Paul, the subject he's talking about to the church at Corinth, is the benefits of breaking off fellowship. The benefits of breaking off fellowship. Amen. Let's read the 13 verses of this chapter, and then we'll get right into it. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So here we have the sin of fornication going on in the church at Corinth. Now, fornication is a bad sin, and it's forbidden. Amen. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 8, the Word of God says, "The nakedness of thy father's wife shall not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness." So we have a man in the church of Corinth that is committing fornication with his father's wife or his stepmother. Amen. And then in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11, "And the man that lieth with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Now, we see in the Old Testament that its punishment was death. Now, Reuben committed this sin and lost his birthright. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or rather 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, First Chronicles chapter 5 verses 1 and 2. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. Amen. So we see Paul is saying here that Gentiles don't even talk about it, the sin of fornication. And the Corinthians had done nothing about it. As a matter of fact, they were glorying in their liberty. Amen. And we see in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, your glorying is not good, Paul says. So as a matter of fact, they were glorying in their liberty like the ultra grace churches today. They won't deal with the sinner. In this chapter, Paul explains the necessity for and the benefits of breaking off fellowship with a Christian who commits fornication or some similar sin. So now we want to look at the breaking off of fellowship. What does it do to a church? The breaking off of fellowship. The first thing we want to see, it humbles the church. It humbles the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 2, the word of God says, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourn that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You see, they were puffed up. They were glorying instead of mourning. Mourning and breaking off a fellowship is tough to do because we are all sinners. Yet, we must obey God. Amen. There is a fear of God in exercising this. Amen. There is a fear of God in exercising this. Similar to what we read in Acts 5 verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And of course, what it's talking about here is the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, and they lied to not only Peter, but to the Holy Ghost, in saying that what they sold the property for, they gave all to the church, and they did not. They held a portion of it back, and both of them dropped dead. So we see great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Amen. Now, so the breaking off of fellowship humbles the church. The next thing is, it gets the devil involved. It gets the devil involved. Look at verses 3 to 5 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the deliverance of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul knew about the workings of the devil in his own life. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10, the Word of God says, unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. So Paul knew firsthand the working of the devil in his own life. Job had personal experience with the devil, did he not? In both cases, something good came of the experience. Paul's desire with Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, was that they might learn not to blaspheme. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. He says, Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Amen. Now, so when we are spiritual and are not carnal, we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Now, this young man did not do that. So Satan was the means by which he could get over this sin. Seeing how suffering in the flesh can put an end in sin. Amen. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The words of Almighty God have this to say. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Amen. So the danger with Satan, though, is that, Lord willing, the men could die. Amen. And we saw that in Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira, amen, they died. And then we're warned in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Okay, so we're looking at what the breaking off of fellowship does. It humbles the church, number one. It gets the devil involved, number two. Number three, can result in mercy. Can result in mercy. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. It says, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul wasn't talking about this man getting saved after being delivered to Satan. This young man was already saved. He was a brother in Christ. Amen. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, we read, But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. Amen. So this man was saved. He was a brother in Christ. Paul's desire was that this young man would get straightened out spiritually so he wouldn't suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, Paul always had an eye toward the coming of the Lord. Notice what he wrote to Titus. In chapter 2 of Titus, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, you and I today should be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we should be doing. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians today are so taken up by the distractions of the world that they're AWOL. They're AWOL. They're absent. They're not looking for that blessed hope. Amen. They love it down here. Amen. But that was Paul's attitude, always looking for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Paul often referred, amen, to the day of the Lord Jesus. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 17 to 18. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. In how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. And then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he would have begun a good work in you and perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ for us starts with the rapture of the church. Amen. Starts with the rapture of the church, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. All of these things that deal with the church. Amen. So Paul often referred, if you read in his writings, to the day of the Lord Jesus. For instance, he wanted the Corinthians to be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, we read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, again, we're looking at breaking off of fellowship. What does it do? Number one, humbles the church. Number two, gets the devil involved. Number three, can result in mercy. Number four, breaking off a fellowship protects the church. Protects the church. Amen. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In verses 6 through 8, the Word of God has to say, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So, a sin like fornication is like leaven to dough. Once a sin like this is allowed to continue in the church without being checked, it affects and will permeate through the whole congregation. So, the only way to deal with it is to purge it out. When the church breaks off fellowship with someone committing fornication, The church becomes like a new unleavened lump of dough. We know from many cross references that Christ is our Passover. For example, in John chapter 1, verse 29, Jesus is the Lamb of God. In John 19:36, a bone of him shall not be broken is a reference to Exodus chapter 12, verse 46. In fact, Christ died at precisely the time on Passover that the lamb was killed by the high priest. And you and I are saved by his blood in the same way that the blood spared the firstborn of Israel, as recorded in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, and so on. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The feast immediately following Passover was both kept without leaven. Therefore, Paul used leaven as a metaphor to show the Corinthians the need to keep malice, in other words, the intent to commit an unlawful act or cause harm without excuse, and wickedness out of the congregation. They were to keep sincerity, in other words, pure doctrine, as recorded in Matthew 16:12, and truth, the word of God, which is recorded in John 17:17, instead, amen. So they were to keep the sincerity and truth instead. Again, breaking off fellowship, amen. So far we've seen that it humbles the church, number one, gets the devil involved, number two, can result in mercy, number three, protects the church, number four, number five, shames the sinner. It shames the sinner. Now, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 through 11. The Word of God says this: I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Paul had already written the Corinthians about not keeping company with fornicators. Yet in this letter, he clarified that he didn't mean all fornicators, amen, covetous, extortioners, or idolaters. If that were the case, we would have to leave the world, amen. And Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 15, that his Father would take us out of the world, but that he would keep us from evil. So Paul meant that we are not to keep company with a brother who is a fornicator, covetous, an idolater, a railer, a drunkard, or an extortioner. We're not to even eat with them. Amen. Paul explained to the Thessalonians the purpose of excluding him in 2 Thessalonians, amen. 2 Thessalonians, let's turn there together. 2 Thessalonians, and when we get to 2 Thessalonians, I want us to turn to chapter 3, and the words of God say in verses 14 and 15, and if any man obey not our word by his epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Amen. So Paul explained to the Thessalonians, the purpose of excluding him, as we just read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it is that he may be ashamed, breaking off a fellowship with him is to help him bear the responsibility for his sin. He's more likely to get right with God if he's excluded rather than pampered. Yet we are not to count him as an enemy because he is a brother. Amen. He is still a brother. Now, finally, breaking off a fellowship subjects the sinner to judgment. It subjects the sinner to judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, the Word of God says, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." Now Paul mentions two kinds of sinners in the passage when he says them that are without and them that are within. So them that are without are unsaved, and those who are not in the kingdom of God. Them that are within are those who are saved, those who are in the church. Paul said that he didn't judge the unsaved, God judges them. He said, though, that it was the responsibility of the church to judge them that are within. He deals with this further in the next chapter. Therefore, they had the duty to put away the wicked person. That was his punishment. Amen. That was his punishment. Amen. So we've seen today that breaking off fellowship, number one, humbles the church. Number two, gets the devil involved. Number three, can result in mercy. Number four, protects the church. Number five, shames the sinner. Number six, subjects the sinner to judgment. So breaking off fellowship with the sinner had the effect that Paul desired. It cleared the church of any wrongdoing in this sinner, amen, this man that was committing fornication with his neighbor's wife, amen, got right with God. And we see that in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 10 to 12, where the Word of God says, For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sought, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that he had done the wrong, nor for his cause had suffered the wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Thus Paul encouraged the church to forgive him and restore fellowship with him. In the second epistle, amen, chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. So that's all the time we have on the pastor's study today, and I pray that you'll join me next time as we continue our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians. Till then, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.